This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
So we're less than a month away from the NFL draft. It starts April 24th in Green Bay. This story from lastwordonsports.com. I don't know how reliable that is, but this is a story.
Hey, it's the last word.
It's a report. Commanders predicted to trade. Now this makes me laugh, kind of. In quotes, best asset, Brian Robinson Jr. Five potential destinations for the Commanders to trade away their best asset running back.
For so what? There are five teams that covet Brian Robinson, well, according to this.
They're speculating because the running back room is crowded. It doesn't seem like the Commanders are in love with Brian Robinson Jr. They've got guys like Austin Ekeler. They re-signed Jeremy McNichols to a one-year deal. The draft is loaded with running back prospects that you don't necessarily have to pick in the first or even second rounds to get a quality running back. Yep. They're just speculating that B-Rob could be on the move.
I mean, I think
I guess it's a possibility.
I mean, it makes sense if other teams want him. Why don't you go through the teams that they have in there?
All right. Some of the teams that they have listed as possible destinations. They've got the L.A. Chargers.
Right.
J.K. Dobbins in the backfield out there. Now, they traded for or they signed Najee Harris in free agency. So that leads me to believe that's probably not going to be the case.
Right.
The New Orleans Saints are a team that could make sense. Alvin Kamara he's either 30 or 29.
He's getting older.
So he's getting up there. And they haven't had the most reliable running backs behind him depth-wise.
What's funny is they drafted Miller in the third round a couple of years
Kendrick
ago.
Miller, last year. Out of TCU.
Yeah, maybe that was last year.
He's been a disappointment to them.
Maybe they're looking for somebody else.
That guy's had a hard time staying on the field.
Correct.
I think they also had Jamal Williams, formerly of the Lions and the Packers, mm-hmm. as a depth guy there. So that could make sense. The third team on the list is the Baltimore Ravens.
What do you think, Valdez?
Where he could be a backup to Derrick Henry.
Well, kind of like protection,
could
too,
spell
Henry.
Derrick Henry in case he gets injured or or needs a blow on
Although
the sidelines.
Although Henry's been remarkably healthy throughout
his
career.
Very durable.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't understand that because it's a very crowded room, mm-hmm. because not only you have Henry, but you have Justice Hill, mm-hmm. who's
Keaton
emerged.
Mitchell.
Who's emerged, and Keaton Mitchell, mm-hmm. who barely used last year because
right.
he was still recovering from his knee injury. Mm-hmm.
Well, in this one, they just described it as Keaton Mitchell is nothing promising. So they're like writing him off.
What's the return for Washington should they trade Brian Robinson?
It can't be great.
And this actually started from Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. I think the last word on sports is just picking up PFF's
okay.
fifth rounder?
I think fifth rounder might be
so generous.
That might be the ceiling, I would think, for now. I'm just guessing.
Maybe
a sixth or seventh rounder.
I mean, he's an NFL caliber running back.
Right.
He's a proven commodity.
What do you think the odds are that the Commanders and Adam Peters draft a running back?
I'd say it's pretty high. I don't know if it's going to be the first three rounds, but I think it's going to be, they're going to pick one at some point during the draft.
I think so, too. Yeah.
There's some really good backs coming out.
Yeah.
So where are they projected to go, though? I mean, I know you have.
I've seen mocks that have.
I mean, probably the top guys like the Gentes are going to go first round, but I mean, Hampton might go late first round, but you could probably. Bashel Tootin, he's a good back for Tech.
He showed out at the combine.
Had an injury at the end of the last year, but you could probably get him in the fourth round. He's good player.
I've seen mocks that have Gente going, several mocks that have him going six overall to the Raiders. Now, that seems a little high, but I mean, if he's a game breaker like everybody expects him to be and can also catch balls, he's a little undersized.
You know what? If you did a poll, though, what percentage, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, I just don't, but if you put a poll out there, what percentage of Commanders fans would be upset if the Skins moved on from Brian Robinson?
Yeah.
The number's going to be really low.
I think it'd be
probably.
It's going to be in the single digits.
Probably.
Yeah, I was going to say 20% or less, but
it's going to be in the single digits. Because there's just a little bit of a frustration that he just didn't kind of blossom into more.
I remember hearing both of my sons, behind closed doors, like during games, complaining about B-Rob. Like, they, trust me, in that poll, they would vote, they'd be fine trading him.
But they still do need somebody who's going to take the bulk of the carries.
Understood.
Because obviously, Eckler's not going to take the bulk. McNichols isn't going to take the bulk.
Right.
So they need a guy who's going
to
take the
bulk. They need a guy who can handle 15 to 17 carries per game.
And by the way, early in the season, he was really good. Yeah. You're kind of forgetting, second game of the season, 133 yards on 17 carries. Fourth game of the season, he had 101 yards. And then it kind of tailed off.
He had some good games.
The rest of the season, he did have some injuries. Remember, he had the knee injury, which kept him out of, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Carolina game, but he missed some games.
Yeah, he did.
And also, I always maintained during the season that I didn't think there were huge holes that Brian Robinson was missing. I didn't see it.
I just don't think there's much that's special about Brian Robinson.
I don't think
Jr.
he's.
I think he's. I think his skill set is very replaceable.
You don't think, you don't think that better up front can open
it might
up
help
some stuff
a bit.
For him?
It might help a bit.
You know what's surprising about Brian Robinson when you look at it?
His yards per carry.
They've actually increased every year. Like a lot of times you have these guys who have a good rookie season and then they tail off. For some reason, we look down on Brian Robinson, and yet he went from 3.9 as a rookie.
That's pretty mediocre.
Yes, to 4.1 his second season.
What did he do?
4.2? To 4.3 with 8 touchdowns. He missed the Ravens game. So it was just before Carolina. But I just remember early in the season. Don't you remember early in the season? We're like, oh, man. I mean, they had one of the best rushing attacks. And we're like, man, well, Brian Robinson's off to a good year.
I was patting myself on the back because I thought I saw it in the preseason. And then it got off to a good start. And then it just kind of faded. And as the team was progressing, he was kind of going backwards. And there was frustration.
Well, yeah, halfway through the season, he had, you know, 7 touchdowns. He finished with 8.
Yeah.
Teams probably figured some things out. But I think he'd be a really good number 2. I just don't love him as a number 1, taking the bulk of the carries.
I just think Adam Peters looks at him and says, is he in our long-term future plans? Are we going to re-sign him to a deal when his rookie deal expires? And I would guess his answer is probably no. So he probably wants to get any sort of draft pick compensation he can get for him. Because he knows he's going to restock his position in this upcoming draft.
But are you going to restock it? Like, if you get a fourth round back, there's no guarantee they're going to be any better than Brian Robinson.
No, of course there's not a guarantee.
No guarantee.
There's no reason to even think that he would be.
Look, Brian Robinson, he was a third round pick.
He was a third round pick.
Like, he's so replaceable.
He's just a guy.
He's a third round pick, I know. But if you just draft somebody in the fourth round, there's no reason to think he'll be better. You'd be lucky if he got Brian Robinson's production.
Right,
all over it. I think you're right. Look, I don't think he's special. I think he's dime a dozen, and I think that's your sentiment, too.
I think Adam Peters thinks that, too.
However, when you actually look at his production, I think unless you're going to invest a first-round pick, it's going to be hard to replace his production. And I think we're being a little unfair, because I agree with you. Most of the fan base would be like, eh, just throw him to the curb.
Yeah.
He's replaceable. Just toss him out. And like I actually had 3 100-yard games, and they didn't even give him the ball. Like, the most he ever had in terms of carries last season was 21. And he went for a 101 in that game. And there was one game when he was kind of stifled against the Saints where they gave him the ball 21 times. But he had 187 carries in all those games. It's not like they give him the rock 25 times.
They probably want someone with a little bit more burst.
I'm sure
a little bit more
do.
Athleticism.
I'm sure they do. But when you're drafted in a fourth round or so, which is where we think they probably would take a back, they don't
no
have that
idea.
Many picks.
Maybe they surprise us and take one late first round.
Maybe they take Amarian Hampton late first round.
You never know.
You never know. I would be shocked.
How many times does a team take a guy and you go, oh my gosh, can't believe they took him in the first round or second round?
I guess.
Did they surprise you last year when they took the defensive tackle from Illinois in the second round?
I think they surprised me in almost every time when they took him. But I just will be shocked if they take a running back that high.
What the fans think they need, they could completely disagree.
Right. Well, if they draft one in the first round, sure, then you can expect bigger production. But if you're drafting one in the fourth or fifth round, you'll be lucky.
Well, look, they may not.
They may not trade him.
They may not trade him.
Yeah. No, this is speculation.
And they still could draft a guy. You know, they could still do that.
I'm kind of in the business of defending him right now. Although I got frustrated too that we didn't get more out of it.
I would defend him if he called us the last couple weeks of the regular season.
Look, he bailed on us. I think a running back who can get you 800 or 900 yards in a season and score 6 or 7 touchdowns, I think those guys are all over the place. Those guys are so easy to find. I kind of look at running backs with his skill set
like
I look at kickers.
Yeah. I think you're disrespecting him a little bit. That's where I would disagree. I don't think you could just go and just pluck one in the fourth or fifth round or off the street, and he's going to give you 800 or 900 and 8 touchdowns.
Maybe not in the fourth or fifth, but second or third, I would think that.
All right,
that,
if you draft one in the second round, then I would say you could expect better.
I think if you target a guy in the second round, he's going to have a higher ceiling than anything Brian Robinson's going to deliver to you.
Right, but I think beyond that, you'd be lucky to get what Robinson gave you.
Potentially.
I mean, could he be some freak, you know, like an outlier? Sure. But generally speaking, you're not going to find a stud in the fifth round, generally speaking.
What about
generally? But Kyren Williams for the Rams is one of the best running backs in the league. He was drafted in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Sure. You have outliers.
Drabby, what about your guy?
But guess what he averaged per carry? Wait a second. Guess what he averaged per carry?
Who?
Kyren Williams, who you just said is one of the best running backs in the league.
Maybe 4.5?
4.1, exact same as Brian Robinson.
Okay, but Kyren Williams is 100 times better than Brian Robinson.
He's better, and he has a bigger role. Look at his number of carries.
Yes, he has a bigger role. That's part of our point, is that Brian Robinson in this system with Jaden Daniels, who actually had more rushing yards than Brian Robinson, you're not going to get as many carries. If he was in L.A. with Matt Stafford, who doesn't move around like Jaden Daniels, he probably would have a similar total to Kyren Williams.
He's not as good. Kyren Williams had 26 touchdowns the last 2 years.
If Brian Robinson were as good as Kyren Williams, he would be getting the ball 20-plus times per game.
Not with Jaden Daniels. Are you going to take away Jaden Daniels running?
I want Jaden Daniels to run
just
too,
because they both average 4.1 per carry doesn't mean they're equal players.
They're in different systems.
Kyren Williams is a better player than Brian Robinson.
100%.
He's just a better back.
Look, if Brian Robinson were so good, he would get more carries per game. He's just not as good. His skill set is not the same.
I don't think you're going to find any running back in this system, so long as Jaden Daniels runs about 10 times a game, who's going to get the amount of carries as Kyren Williams?
If that's the case, then maybe keeping Brian Robinson as a status quo is the right move. But he's not as good as Kyren Williams. I'm sorry.
Are you claiming they should keep Brian Robinson because he's one of the best backs in the league, like Kyren Williams is?
What I'm saying is I think we are undervaluing Brian Robinson.
I agree with DB.
It's going to be tough to replace him unless you go with the first round pick with somebody that's going to be better than him.
I think Brian Robinson is
actually
probably valued
he's better
he
than you remember. Especially the first half of the season, he was scoring a bunch of touchdowns.
I don't think it's special, but 800 yards or whatever he had in 8 touchdowns, pretty good production for a guy who's basically an afterthought.
Yeah, but you can get, like Cakes is saying, you can get that from a lot of different guys.
Okay.
I mean, look, maybe Adam Peters didn't draft him. He knows he's not special. He knows he can find a better replacement in the draft. That's going to be ultimately
depends
cheaper,
on what round
cheaper than Brian Robinson, and he can get a draft pick.
And I'm sorry,
maybe in return.
You can grill me, but Kyren Williams had 14 touchdowns, which is great, on 316 carries for 1,300 yards. Yeah. Brian Robinson only had 187 carries, gave you 8 touchdowns, and actually, I was incorrect. Averaged 4.3 a pop versus Kyren's 4.1 a pop.
All right, what did Kyren Williams do last year? 2 years ago, sorry, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, Kyren Williams, didn't he score a zillion touchdowns?
Yeah, how about 12?
Yeah, you're going to die on the B-Rob
hill. He's got 26 touchdowns in 2 years.
Have fun dying on that hill.
It's not dying on a hill. It's a different system. Don't you recognize?
They're giving him the ball because he's better.
If he were special, he would. Here's my point. If Brian Robinson were so special, he would get the role that Kyren Williams has.
Nobody's arguing he's special.
You would cut a little bit into Daniels rushing.
Nobody's arguing that Brian Robinson is special.
I think JP's kind of arguing that.
I'm not. What I'm arguing is you're undervaluing what he is. And somehow you've propped up Kyren Williams to be Saquon Barkley.
I guarantee you there were times last year where you said, Brian Robinson, they got to upgrade from Brian Robinson. I guarantee
you. I don't disagree with that.
I guarantee you said that multiple times.
And I've said that the whole time here.
No, you're telling me Brian Robinson's as good, if not better, than Kyren Williams because he averaged 0.2 yards per carry more. I mean, that's absurd.
Well, all right, context matters. He's in a different system.
They give him the ball because he's better and he's more productive. Also, if he wasn't productive, they wouldn't give him the ball as much.
If Brian Robinson Jr. were traded to the Rams today and Kyren Williams is there, you know who's going to get the ball more? Kyren Williams. 1,000%.
I bet you Brian Robinson and Sean McVay's system would do a lot better than what he's done here
possibly,
in Washington, because he'd get the ball more and he'd have Matthew Stafford under center, not somebody that's running read options, taking the ball for himself.
All right, we'll take your calls.
And by the way, Kyren Williams last year, or I'm sorry, 2 years ago, averaged 5.0 per carry.
Right. 800-636-1067. Do you stick with Brian Robinson? Do you try to trade him for a fifth or sixth round draft pick because you know you're not going to re-sign him when his rookie deal is up? We'll take your calls on that next. And don't forget, Jerry Palm will break down the brackets with us coming up at 8 o'clock.
It is not Dak Prescott.
I
just heard a Cowboy fan talking about that the other day and say, man, messed up. We got the worst quarterback in the division.
They do not have the worst.
They may not have the worst, but you know what? They're
number three.
They haven't seen. Their quarterback has not been to an NFC Championship game. The rest of them have.
Tressway has more passing yards in the NFC Championship game.
I'm just saying. So, don't tell me how good your quarterback is if he hadn't been to the way he's supposed to go.
Lampville, who's got the best quarterback in the NFC East?
The Commanders. It's Jaden.
Think over Jalen?
Yeah.
No problem saying that?
I mean, I think Jalen would be better if it was, you know, just straight up tush-push rugby. But at actual football, I'm going to go with Jaden.
I mean, Jalen has obviously accomplished the most. He's won a Super Bowl, been a Super Bowl MVP, deservingly.
I mean, he's not a bad player.
He's been great in 2 Super Bowls.
Jaden's better.
All right. One vote Jalen, one vote Jaden. Jeffrey? Best quarterback in the NFC. East.
All homer aside, Jaden Daniels. I believe you can.
You say all homer aside.
Yeah, all homer aside, because I don't want, you know, people think that like Ashburn syndrome is just running, but no.
Oh, it's running.
Nah, my thing is this. If I put Jaden Daniels on the Eagles team, I believe they can go back. If I put Jalen Hurts on this Commanders team, I don't believe we will go back to the championship with Hurts. I believe Jaden is just the better overall quarterback.
Now, White Bryan, He's a Giant fan, but he's a football fan.
No. Nobody goes. I'm joking.
Who do you think the best quarterback in the NFC East is?
Right now, it's Jalen Hurts, but after this year, it could be Jaden Daniels.
The Eagles' passing game was reportedly broken three quarters of the way through the season.
But it wasn't in the NFC Championship game in the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
In the two toughest games, the man showed up. Kind of hard to knock him at that point.
Sure. Averaged under 200 yards per game. Threw for 18 touchdowns in the regular season. That's kind of wild. He only threw for 18 touchdowns in 15 games.
Hmm.
15 times. He was excellent in the Super Bowl. Absolutely excellent. I don't know, man. It's such an objective question or a subjective question. How about this? If there was a draft, every NFC East player, who goes number one?
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden, clearly. I think that is kind of perhaps the better way to look at it.
But to be honest with you, we look at it like that, but hell, go ask people in Philadelphia.
Right.
Taking that quarterback right there that's been to two Super Bowls and won one.
Dude, how about this? If there's a draft of the entire NFL, the whole damn league, who goes one?
Pat or Jaden?
Maybe Burrow, maybe Lamar, maybe Allen.
Pat or Jaden?
I don't think Jaden gets past five.
Yeah, but he'll get up there, which means a lot being that young.
Landini?
I think you'd probably go with Mahomes, but I think Jaden would be number two. Then you'd have Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, the rest of the top five.
That's crazy. Lamar Jackson's won two MVPs. Burrow, or maybe just one. Two, I think, right? Allen's won one. Burrow's been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean,
the draft is not about what you've done. It's about what you possibly can do.
Right.
I believe people look at Jaden and they think this kid is going to be special.
Last thing on Russ. What, if anything, does it say that Pittsburgh just didn't want him? Pittsburgh's willing to roll the dice on the Aaron Rodgers wild mushroom ride instead of bring Russ back. Apparently, Russ wanted to be back.
I think it comes down to the money that they were probably trying to offer compared to what the Giants offer. And when you come down to it, you got an entertainment wife. You want to be in Pittsburgh, you want to be in damn New York.
Russ
believes he's an entertainer.
But, like, he said on the record, I want to be back in Pittsburgh, and they didn't want him back.
Okay, I understand that. But I'm saying, I want to be back in Pittsburgh.
And I don't think it's cash. The Steelers have plenty of salary cap.
They got plenty of salary cap, but they probably didn't want to pay him a certain amount of money. Because last year, they got away with paying him $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then this year, they probably was like, man, we can get you for like another 5-10. Yeah, but not 21.
Do you agree, though, on some level, Pittsburgh is choosing Rodgers or the pursuit of Rodgers over Russ?
I mean, I believe they're doing it, and I hope they suffer for it.
I don't hate Rodgers like you, but I think it's...
I don't hate Rodgers. I just think Rodgers is an ass. I don't hate him.
Okay. I agree with you that he's an ass. I think he might have more left. It's remarkable whatever's going on with Russ that Pittsburgh is like, yeah, we're going to try this dude who just completely tore apart the Jets organization. But what do coaches always think? We can fix him.
There you go. Always think that.
Neil Greenberg joins us next.
And Danny. No Danny today. Toby is alongside. We're discussing ESPN's piece from last night. Teams, one by one, whether or not they should trade up or trade down and how much they should try to do so. And ESPN's pretty adamant that the Commanders should move the 29th pick, saying this one might feel like a surprise. The Commanders were last year's surprise contenders. They go on to write about the growth of Jaden Daniels and how great the season was, but they make the very obvious point. They've got two picks in the top 125 selections in this class. That screams into a megaphone, you need more early picks. How do you get them? You trade back from 29. And the question we've got for you guys, we'll hit the phones in a second, 800-636-1067, is it something that they should go into the draft prioritizing? Should they be hell-bent on trading back, or is it just something they should think about doing? Sounds like I'm a little more passionate about the trade back than you are, although you'd acknowledge that it's a good idea. But I teased this, Toby, and I want to throw this out there at you. I said there's one other thing I would do at pick 29 today that might be unpopular. I would call the Bengals today, and I would offer them 29 for Trey Hendrickson. Straight up. They're not getting what they want, clearly, which is, at this point, you know, they probably backed off of a one, and they're probably looking for a two. I guess I could start there, maybe. But if it came to it where they said it's 29 or bust, here's 29. I've got the edge. You want to take an edge anyway, you just told
Correct,
me.
Correct, yes.
You're hoping that some guy that might stink falls into your lap because he's one of the three guys in this process that we're enamored with. What if I said, with that same pick, I'll get you 15 sacks, 20 quarterback hits, and a top five player at the position over the last 3 years in the league? Why shouldn't they do that? I would try to do that today. So if I'm not trading back, that pick's getting me Trey Hendrickson. If you want to solve the edge problem, in other words, you're saying, GP, I'm not trading back because I got to get my defensive end. Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. Then call the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going to pass.
To draft a lottery ticket?
Well, here's the issue I have. 29 is not a lottery ticket. 61, we can have that discussion. I get that it's not a top 10 pick, but to dismiss a first rounder, like we do this bit where a 29th pick is basically the second rounder. Well, a 30, you know, fifth pick is basically a first rounder. Well, look, you can find guys there. This is where the scouting staff has to do their jobs. This is where they have to find guys, because the issue I have is you're trading away so many draft picks that are. I get that you want to win next year. I don't want to dismiss that, but I don't know that now is the time to do this when there's still holes. And are you going to plug a guy that in 2 years is going to be 32 years old? Do you feel great about that when you're looking at Jaden coming up and you say, okay, maybe that's how you're going to work it, where his contract comes off, you pay Jaden? I'm trying to build something like San Fran has, where every year we talk and say, San Fran's a Super Bowl contender. I'm saying that for year after year after year for like a decade. Are you able to continue to do that when you trade pick after pick after pick after pick after pick? Yes, you get good guys, but there's still a lot of needs on this team. I would use that draft pick to get somebody. Or if you trade back, use draft picks. I don't know. I just...
But trade's if your awesome. Mind wasn't made up on an edge, like a lot of people's are, and I totally get it because they desperately need one. That's why I'm trying to get Trey Hendrickson. But my point is, when you say the 29th pick is ultra valuable, it is. But you're fishing in a very small bucket, right? So Abdul Carter's long gone. Jalen Walker's long gone. Mikel Williams has been drafted at a minimum. I think there's also a chance, by the way, that James Pierce and Shamar Stewart or Mike Green are all gone, too.
Of course, yeah.
But let's just say, hypothetically, that Pierce and Green are still there. Here's where we're going to disagree. Is a first-round talent. I talk about this with baseball prospects all the time. People drive me crazy when they just label prospects suspects, and they're like, well, they've never done it in the big leagues. There's a difference between a number one overall prospect in the industry and the 19th guy in the Nats system. Yeah, they're both in the minor leagues. There's a lot better chance that one becomes a star. And I do hate just throwing everyone in the same bucket. But if we're going to disagree on like whether Mike Green to be a great edge is a crapshoot, with all apologies to his work at Marshall, I'm not sure who they played this year.
By the way, I'd be psyched if they drafted Mike Green.
I would be happy with that, too. I would be. But you know who I know is great? Trey Hendrickson.
So here's where I
James Pierce, same thing. The numbers aren't even necessarily there. That's a specimen. That's 6'5", 245. That is a crapshoot. That this guy ever becomes a 10-sack guy in the league. Montez Sweat, really, really good player. With a head start, can't get you 10 sacks in a season. Trey Hendrickson will get you 15.
See, I'll take Montez Sweat at 29 over trading that pick for Trey Hendrickson and paying him. Because I think you can build on that. I think you're going to get better
play. What do you mean? You mean you would take
a
Montez Sweat career out of a player you're taking at 29.
Then trading for Trey Hendrickson for the price.
Ooh, not me. A DPOY candidate?
Because you're giving up draft picks.
So what?
Where I get a solid guy for a dude that's going to be here for 5 years, that's going to help me and theoretically get better year to year.
Hendrickson's going to be here. You're paying
Hendrickson's going to be... how long do you think Hendrickson's going to be putting up double-digit sacks?
At least 3 years.
And see, I don't know that I agree with that. If I'm doing it for 2 years...
Bruce Smith was getting 9 sacks at 40.
Here's my problem. I need to constantly build this thing up. I need it to get better and better and better and better. I don't think that's happening when you consistently trade draft picks for people that are 30. I just don't... I want young people on this team
to
help it continue to grow. And I think the way to do that is through the draft. I still want them to trade back from 29... I would lean that way, but I'm not trading more draft picks for basically anybody.
Julius Peppers had 12 sacks at 37 years old. It's not a position where you fall off a cliff at like 33. You get a little smarter, you set guys up.
Maybe I'm not as high on Trey Hendrickson. I know he's had 17 and a half sacks the last 2 years.
What the hell's the guy need to do for you, Toby?
I like Hendrickson. I don't think he's the most skilled pass rusher in the world.
What is it about him that you don't like? Is there anything specific that stands out?
No, there's nothing. I think he's a good football player. I would love to have traded. I just think when you consistently trade all these picks, you're not setting up your foundation well.
I agree with you. It should be the exception, not the rule. They're getting a little heavy with it. I agree. But I got to look at all these things in a vacuum.
Here's where
and you're saying if they're going to draft an edge, and it's Mike White, who's the older brother of a kid I went to high school with, or Trey Hendrickson, respectfully, I will take the DPOY candidate and feel like the next 2 or 3 years he's going to go get me 40 sacks.
I know we got to hit a break, but real quick, do you view them as a Super Bowl contender as they're constructed right now?
Why wouldn't I?
I don't. I just don't. And so trading another first-round pick for a team, because I'm not trying to be just Super Bowl contenders where I'm always in the conversation.
Well, I promise you they're not without an edge.
I want to build the juggernaut. And so my thing is, if I keep trading for these guys where Hendrickson improves your team, there's no question. He's going to improve your team more than you got to get at 29, no question. It takes me from being the 7th favorite to the 6th.
Are they worse than San Francisco? Right now is one of the favorites in the NFC?
Probably not.
No, they're better.
I don't think they're better than the top teams in the AFC. They're not better than the Eagles.
That's a different thing. I mean, the Eagles are the only team I would say in the NFC head and shoulders better than them.
Sure.
Are they decidedly worse than Detroit, who they just beat in the playoffs?
I think they are.
Taken a step back, lost their coordinator, lost a lot of talent?
I would say that they are.
Head and shoulders worse? I disagree a little bit, but I would take the Lions over them. But my point is, NFC Championship game last year, 6th in the power rankings that came out yesterday from ESPN going into the season.
Sure.
Overall, not just in the NFC. Why not? If you're using the pick on an edge and it's a 1-1 of crapshoot dude from Marshall or Trey Hendrickson, I'll use the pick on Trey Hendrickson.
Coming back near wall. The tie up in the hash mark. Protas weak side. Ovechkin! He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores from the left dot! This game is tied! And Ovechkin picks one up here in Winnipeg! It's goal 8-8-9! He needs 5 to tie! He needs 6 to break! Wayne Gretzky's all-time record! An electrifying moment here in downtown Winnipeg! Ovechkin draws one closer!
We got some really good play-by-play hockey guys in town. Outstanding call from John Walton on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan, the home for Washington Capitals hockey. 4 minutes left in the game. Ovechkin gets 8-8-9. The Caps would go on to lose in overtime to Winnipeg, but they pick up a point, and they stay, by the way, 1 point ahead of Winnipeg for the President's Trophy, with now, believe it or not, just 11 games left in the season for Washington. Yeah, 3-2, they lost to Winnipeg, but Ovechkin now, man, we're on pace for what we had talked about after his last goal for one of those two Columbus games coming up on Saturday and Sunday, April 12th and 13th. That is still the target right now based on his goals per game average. He'll either do it at Columbus on Saturday, April 12th, based on his current goals per game average, or at home against Columbus on Sunday, April 13th. Look that up. I didn't look that up. I should have done that before the show, Denton. See what the price is on, you know, see if StubHub's, you know, got tickets for that Sunday, April 13th game against Columbus and what the prices are. I would imagine they are through the roof, because that right now also is the only home game in the Caps' final four games of the season. Their final four games are at Columbus, Columbus at home, at the Islanders, at Pittsburgh. You know, so he could break it before then. They've got a game against Carolina, but actually four of their final six games are on the road, and three of their final four are on the road.
The prices for that game, Sunday, April 13th, you can get in the door for $213.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad. I think as you get closer, those numbers are going to ramp up a little bit.
What would a really good, you know, lower bowl seat cost?
If we're looking lower bowl, you're probably upwards of, I'm seeing $330.
That's not bad at all, right?
It's not bad. Not terrible. Not great, but not terrible.
I don't think it's probably been a while since I've looked at, you know, aftermarket ticket prices for hockey games. But I know if that's a, you know, you have 20,000 people that you can get into that arena for hockey. What's the sellout number? Actually, it's 18-something, right?
I think it's 18,000. Now, I'm looking at if you wanted, like, lower-level row A112, then you're paying a very hefty price. But just to get into the 100 section, you're paying $400.
All right. Well, that's the target right now. Exciting goal came with the Caps down 2-1, and it tied it up. And ultimately, they just lost in overtime to Winnipeg. But still, the Caps right now playing great. They go to Minnesota tomorrow night and then are home against Buffalo. When I think now is the moment, although I don't know if it was five from tying or five from breaking, but the number was, you know, five goals away from either tying or breaking, in which Gretzky and the commissioner would then start to head to every single game and be at every single game. I mean, if you're five goals short of breaking the record, it seems a little aggressive to be there at that point. I don't know if he's going to get five in a game, but I would think that, you know, a reasonable number would be three. Like, once you're within three away from tying or breaking, whichever, you know, the goal is to be there for the game tying or the game breaking, both of them, I would assume, it would seem three goals within those numbers would be the right number. But Ted told us last month they are going to start traveling with the team or traveling to the team's games once he gets to within five. So there you go. What a season he's having. I mean, unbelievable season for Alex Ovechkin. 36 goals now in 55 games. Bottom line is, if he hadn't gotten injured, it'd be over at this point, right? How many games did he miss? Didn't he miss 15 games?
He missed a bunch. And right now, he's fourth in the NHL in goals.
It's crazy.
And he's missed a bunch of games and nearly 40 years old.
Yeah, I mean, so this, we would have already had the moment had he not gotten hurt. You know, we talked about this last week. I'm telling you, somebody did, you know, text me who's in the know that says the Monumental sales people, anyway, they're hoping he doesn't break it this year and they can have a whole off season to generate a lot of activity and close a lot of deals between now and the beginning of next season if he goes into next season having not broken the record. All right. wanted to read this from, we've got two guests on the show, by the way. Naki's going to join us at 11 from San Francisco. Terps tomorrow night against Florida. We'll talk a little bit more about Kevin Willard. That situation is hanging out there right now. It's a little bit uncomfortable given that they've got a Sweet 16 matchup tomorrow night. I'll give you, before the hour is up, I'll kind of tell you what I think is going on right now as it relates to that. Chris Naki at 11. Chris Spatola from ESPN covers college hoops will join us at noon. This from Frank L. to open up the show. Frank L. writes, Kevin, looks like your prediction that Brian Robinson Jr. will get traded has gained traction. Read this. And then he linked me to a Pro Football Focus guy saying that Robinson Jr. should be traded. I did mention this to you, I think yesterday, Denton, not on the air, maybe it was before the show, because somebody else had sent me something about, you should read this about Brian Robinson Jr., but I ended up reading it after the show yesterday. This guy, Bradley Locker, from Pro Football Focus, said that he believes Robinson's play has declined, and therefore the Commanders should be open to trying to get back some of the picks that they've already traded for other players by trading Brian Robinson Jr. Here's the actual quote. Quote, the Commanders' offseason has centered on upgrading the pieces around Jaden Daniels. In that sense, it might seem paradoxical to trade Robinson, but there would be good reasons to do so. His PFF rushing grade has declined in all three seasons, and his 34 missed tackles forced in 2024 tied for 27th out of 31 qualified rushers. With Robinson only under contract for one more year, and this draft class being rich at the position, trading him in favor of a rookie would be plausible. Close quote. So, a couple of things here. First of all, I didn't predict that Brian Robinson Jr. would be traded. That's not what I've talked about when we've had these conversations. What I've said is that I think because the draft is rich in running backs, where, you know, day three, they could get somebody that they maybe really like. And because they traded for Deebo Samuel and they will have the option of lining Deebo Samuel up in the backfield, it wouldn't surprise me if Brian Robinson Jr., who, you know, was underwhelming at times last year. And remember, a lot of it was because he wasn't available. You know, you go back to the Baltimore Ravens game. Let's not forget that a lot of people thought the reason that they didn't beat Baltimore, and it was a very competitive game, Jaden was phenomenal in the game, was because Brian Robinson Jr. was out. You know, but I just suggested that given that, you know, first of all, it's an over $3 million in cap savings. It's not massive, but that there could be some crowding at the position. I also mentioned that, you know, they tendered Chris Rodriguez. And they, with Deebo and Eckler and Rodriguez and, you know, the opportunity to add a back that maybe they really like as a rookie on day three, might be night two for all we know, that I just kind of connected the dots in the last, you know, month and since the Deebo trade in particular and said it wouldn't shock me. Now, I think others have pushed back on it. I think Sam did and Ben did, maybe. I forget who else. Maybe Ben didn't. It doesn't matter to me. But I didn't say that I'm predicting he'll be traded. I just said I think that there's a chance he's not on the opening day roster. Let me just mention, too, I don't think there's a trade market for Brian Robinson Jr., all due respect to the player. Like, what are they going to get back for Brian Robinson Jr.? I mean, a conditional seventh? I don't think with a back-heavy draft that there's much of a market for Brian Robinson Jr. I could be wrong. You know, these are the conversations we never get right as fans. You know, trade compensation and what somebody can get for somebody and what somebody's worth. But, you know, given the number of backs and given how running back heavy this draft appears to be, I can't imagine that somebody's going to give up a pick for Brian Robinson Jr. So it surprises me that somebody from PFF would suggest that there's a chance to get picks. He actually said picks back for Brian Robinson Jr. Am I off on that one? I could be. Denton, who's going to trade a pick for Brian Robinson Jr.?
No one. I mean, like, honestly, no one's trading for a running back in the year of our Lord 2025, especially when a draft is coming up. If you really want a running back, you're going to draft a running back.
Yeah. And Brian Robinson Jr., all due respect, he's not a guy that even if the draft wasn't heavy in running backs, that you're going to give up anything meaningful for. Like, that's a conditional late at best pick. You know, this did kind of, you know, remind me too. And this is another thing, you know, we do. And I've done the same thing. Trust me, I've been dead wrong on these things in the past as well. By the way, I like the player. I've always liked Brian Robinson Jr., but he's got to be available. But I don't, you know, it's not that they can't do better. That's the issue here. You can do better more likely than not in this draft. I believe you can, like with a Damian Martinez from Miami on day three. I think you could do better in this draft. And by the way, a lot cheaper. And have in your program for the next, four seasons on a rookie deal. But this, you know, Brian Robinson Jr. made me think just back to that trade that our fan base went absolutely nuts over. When they traded back with New Orleans, so New Orleans could take Chris Olave, and by the way, meaning that Washington couldn't select Kyle Hamilton, and they ended up getting Jahan Dotson, and with the picks that they turned into more picks, Sam Howell, Brian Robinson Jr., and Cole Turner, right, I think was the other player. And I just remember taking calls from people that just said, you know, what they're saying about Adam Peters. I mean, they're cooking. This is how you do it. Great job, Ron. Great job, Martin. Great job, Marty's. And I'm like, how do we know at this point? Like, I liked Jahan Dotson, so I was dead wrong. I liked Jahan Dotson. I liked Olave more in that draft. And going into that draft, the guy that I really wanted was Kyle Hamilton. I thought they should, you know, stand pat and pick Kyle Hamilton in that draft, which they could have done at 11. Hamilton went three picks later to Baltimore. I do know this from that group, and I think, you know, I've talked about it before. I'm 100% sure, 99% sure, that if Drake London had dropped to 11, that they would not have traded back. They would have selected Drake London. That was the number one receiver, and that was the one that they were hoping would fall. That was their guy. It wasn't Olave. It wasn't even Wilson. It wasn't Jameson Williams. It was Drake London. They also really liked the lineman that Seattle picked. Hold on. What was the lineman that Seattle picked in that draft in the top 10? Charles Cross. They also liked Cross and a couple of the other linemen. So I think if one of the big time tackles had dropped, they would have stood at 11 and taken, you know, London or one of the tackles. But they didn't. And they apparently didn't love Kyle Hamilton. And they didn't love Olave. They didn't love Jameson Williams. So they traded back. And I'm telling you, man, let's not forget that one. Our fan base went nuts over that trade. A lot of you did. Not everybody. You just don't know until 3 years down the road. The Jaden Daniels quick answer is the exception to the rule. It usually takes a full 3 years before you can evaluate a trade. New Orleans clearly got the better of the deal in hindsight. Olave's a really good player. And Washington got a player that's already gone in Jahan Dotson, a quarterback who honestly could not be a starter, and a running back that's been okay, and a tight end who really hasn't played at all. And they got, you know, a potential, I wouldn't call Chris Olave an elite receiver because he's had some issues with availability as well. But clearly going back to that draft in hindsight, you take Kyle Hamilton at 11. I mean, I guess if they had Alave, you know, rated as high as they had London, you wouldn't have minded that, although you didn't have, you know, a quarterback to throw him the ball. And New Orleans is probably, until Washington drafted Jaden Daniels, New Orleans has had a better quarterback in Derek Carr than Washington's had, you know, had with Jahan Dotson. But yeah, you go back and you put Ron and the Martys back on the clock there. You're not trading back, because we're now 3 years in, you know, hindsight mode, and it's very obvious that they weren't cooking, that they didn't, you know, they weren't playing chess with the Saints, who were playing checkers. You got to be really careful, and that goes to this year's draft. You know, already, you know, there's been, I think, for a lot of fans, and I would suggest that it's a lot of older fans in particular, who, you know, remember Bobby and Charlie, you know, Bobby in particular, using the draft and trading back and getting multiple picks and truly cooking, because he was a real unbelievable evaluator of talent, you know, and what Charlie did with the Saints in the Champ Bailey deal, right? One of, you know, an all-time, you know, fleecing for sure. Not the Champ Bailey deal, excuse me. The Champ Bailey deal was with Denver. The Ricky Williams deal, when New Orleans wanted Ricky Williams, and what Washington got back for that. You know, an all-time, you know, couple of years later, fleecing in a trade. But you got to be careful when you, you know, as a team, when you have fewer picks. Washington's got five now, six now, is it? Whatever it is. And you start, you know, absolutely thinking, well, we got to trade back. Now, at 29, it's different than where Washington's typically been. You know, in that draft, they were at 11. You know, I think about the 2010 draft, where they selected Ryan, you know, traded back and got Ryan Kerrigan, but passed on J.J. Watt. You know, those are the things you got to be careful about. You can't pass on greatness, a guy that you've got rated super high on your board, because you want to accumulate more picks and hopefully do more damage. There is definitely, I think, a reasonable position to say, when it comes to the draft, the best thing you can do is have more picks so you can take more swings, because nobody really knows anything, and hitting on 35%, 37%, whatever the number is, it's somewhere in that 35 to 39% range, where basically teams would say 3 years later, if we look at a draft and 37% of the players we picked are contributors, then it was a successful draft. You know, when we're talking in the area of one out of three, it is a total crapshoot, you know, on the draft. So 37% of 10 picks gives you 3.7 contributors, whereas, you know, 37% of 5 picks gives you half the number of contributors. So there is obviously some benefit in having many more picks, which, by the way, is sort of admitting up front, you understand that as much as you think you're a great evaluator and you've got great insight, it's still a one out of three business, you know, and the really, really good teams, the outstanding teams, may hit it slightly higher than that. You know, a 2 out of 5, you know, at a 40% rate. But if you've got a player that is a clear-cut first-round pick that you think is way higher than anybody on your board that you're going to take in the second round with your 2 second-round picks, etc., you take the player. 2022 proves that. 2010 proves that. And there are plenty of other examples of trading back worked. But the Brian Robinson Jr. PFF thing just reminded me of that moment in time. And, you know, the same things that are being said about, you know, God, just let him cook. Adam Peters, that seems to be everybody's favorite thing. Let him cook. He's cooking so far. I will definitely agree on that. It certainly looks like he is cooking. But the easiest, best-tasting meal so far was the first pick of his tenure here in Washington, which he got right. because none of the others would have mattered had he gotten that one wrong. Like, if we knew at this point, uh-oh, they got the wrong guy. Should have picked Drake May. Should have picked Penix. Should have picked Bo Nix or whatever, whomever it would have been. Yeah. I don't know, Brian Robinson Jr. I mean, I would certainly not object to Washington, you know, moving on from him if they got, you know, if somebody was willing to give them a pick. But if nobody's willing to give them a pick, you keep Brian Robinson around at the very least to compete for a spot on the team when we get to training camp. There's no reason to move on from him now. You wouldn't do that. Certainly, it would be beneficial to him if they thought he wasn't going to make the team to move on from him now. But that's not beneficial to the team. If you're not going to get something back in this draft, you're not moving on from him. I guess somebody might really love Brian Robinson Jr. And there is a lot to like about Brian Robinson Jr. Don't get me wrong. I've been a fan. I was a fan, you know, certainly after, I think there just wasn't enough availability last year. But Brian Robinson Jr. has had moments in which I think all of us on Sundays and then on Monday mornings talking about it have said, yeah, he's good. He's not elite. He's not Barkley. He's not McCaffrey. He's not, you know, he's not Bijan Robinson, but he's a good back. You know, early in the season last year, I think it was after the Giant game or maybe it was the Arizona game. The Arizona game, he had a good game. Everybody had a good game. I think that was the game in which they brought in somebody else had a big game at running. McNichols had a big game at running back in that game. I mean, after the game was decided. But it was like, man, you know, Washington's backfield with Brian Robinson Jr. and Eckler. I mean, even McNichols. Now, of course, with Jaden as a runner, I was certainly crediting Jaden being a run threat for a lot of it. But as the season went on, man, I don't think they got anywhere near the production out of their backs that they should have. And one of the things that we've all talked about since the season ended is, why? Was it the offensive line? Was it the back or backs? Was it Jaden who in their zone read game wasn't consistent enough as a decision maker that the running backs could have benefited? I remember talking specifically about a couple of games like even the Tampa playoff game where there were some decisions that I think they would have feasted on had Jaden kept it instead of giving it or given it instead of, you know, keeping it. Because that game was a rough game, if you recall, for their rushing attack, the playoff game at Tampa. And I felt like there were some decisions. And we had Taylor Kelly on, you know, Jaden's quarterback guru coach from out in California, who actually said that there were some plays in that game where Jaden probably was fooled and made the wrong decision. But he also said that's a thing that at every level of football, you know, defenses really, some do a really good job of showing a look where the D end or the outside linebacker is crashing, but he really isn't. And you got to be, you know, you don't bat 100% in the decision-making game as a zone read quarterback. But I still don't know the reason as to why the running back production really tailed off. I don't know that anybody knows the answer. Obviously, they made a massive trade in the offseason to bring in Laremy Tunsil, but I think that's as much about pass pro as it is about run blocking. So we'll see. But I don't know. Brian Robinson Jr., like, should we take calls on this? You want to do that? I wasn't thinking about doing it, but I'm curious as to what people think.
I think we should, because you're going to get a mixed bag of reaction, I think, to this one.
So let's get 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. First part is, do you think he'll be on the roster? when we get to opening day. Second part is, would you have a problem if he wasn't? 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. Head coach Spencer Carberry joins us at 8:45 here on the Junkies. We'll talk about their game last night, which didn't end great. Overtime loss, but I believe that's a point, right?
It's definitely a point.
And they've got a ton of points.
Mm-hmm. Got a point.
It's 103 at this point and counting.
Was huge. He's six away. It came with about 4 minutes left, so it helped them secure a point.
Mm-hmm. So that is coming up at 8:45. Also, we have carryover because on Game Show Wednesday, we gave away just one prize. So we said this, at 8:25, we're going to give you another crack. But you're going to have to earn it. We're going to do a little Junkies trivia. Reward the loyal listeners.
That's good.
Ask you questions about the show today. So something that came up earlier or is still to come, that's how we'll hook you. We have the $100 gift card to Metropolitan Hospitality Group.
Yes, sir.
That's huge. And we have Open the tickets road to Live and Collective Soul.
So thank you for breakfast, by the way.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Flame.
You know what? A couple of years ago, I started using Waze just in case. And this time, I mean, I put it on super early, and it was like, there's no getting around it. Then I actually list roads. Uh-huh. But in terms of highway to highway to highway, which is how I go,
yeah,
I had to endure multiple crashes.
Some days it happens.
The cars that I passed, I mean, I don't know how somebody lived given those crashes.
Traffic is scary.
But probably didn't. Probably
got to pay attention.
Probably had some donk-offs.
I don't know. I don't know. They didn't describe them as fatal crashes, but they closed the American Legion Bridge for a while. Right. And then one was like on River Road and one was about a mile away. So there was like two crashes within a mile. And then what are you going to do? So you're welcome for the breakfast. Hey,
I crushed it in about 8 seconds.
Yeah, I wasn't able to finish it during the commercial break. I tried. CBS Sports came out with a list of teams they believe are most likely to dethrone the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh.
Now, a lot of these are the teams you would expect, but let me lead off with the honorable mentions. They have a top five.
Can we guess?
This might be disrespectful that they're just an honorable mention. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can guess.
Can you get one of the five honorable mentions?
These are just NFC teams?
Nope.
Just overall.
The entire league.
Overall.
Whole league.
Whole league.
Honorable mention.
So basically to we're doing top 10.
To win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Bengals.
The Bengals were not on this list. Actually, they are. Sorry. They're not an honorable mention. They're number two.
They're number two?
They have the Bengals. Mm-hmm. The number two likely team to dethrone.
Wow. That's surprising.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Houston Texans.
They are on that list. I'll give you the honorable mentions.
All right.
So I felt like this was kind of disrespectful because I would put them in the top five. Valdez, your Ravens don't even make the top five most likely to win a Super Bowl.
They have the Bengals at a better opportunity or better shot to win the Super Bowl than the Ravens?
Yes, sir.
According to CBS Sports. I'm going to bet that Valdez kind of likes the disrespect heading into this.
Do you think it's disrespect?
He's okay with it.
Or do you think it's fair?
I think
they a top five team?
I think the Ravens have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than the Bengals because I don't think the Bengals have done anything really to upgrade their defense, which was a huge problem for them last year. And if they trade away Trey Hendrickson, which I don't know if they're going to do, but if they do, then their defense gets even worse.
The Bengals should worry more about dethroning the Ravens from the AFC North than dethroning the Eagles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yes. That's very surprising.
Considering Joe Burrow 6-1 against Lamar.
Right.
Or Lamar 6-1 against Joe Burrow.
Right.
1-6.
Who put this out?
CBS Sports.
CBS Sports. Okay.
So your number five team, and it makes sense because they were in the AFC Championship game, is the Buffalo Bills.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, it's certainly Bills, in the mix.
They added Joey Bosa. That could upgrade their pass rush if he's healthy.
Right. They added Joshua Palmer as a receiver. He's not some super stud, but he's speedy. At number four, I mean,
Chiefs.
They've got the Detroit Lions.
All right.
Now, the Commanders smashed the Lions in the playoffs, but they had a lot of injuries, especially on defense. They do lose both their coordinators. Right. How big of a deal do you think that is? I mean, I guess we're going to find out. Ben Johnson, EB's favorite coordinator.
I think it's got to be a factor. I think anytime teams lose coordinators.
It will be a factor, but I don't think it's going to be a huge factor.
They hired both guys from within, right?
Did they promote both from within? I'd have to double check.
I'm not sure about
those
that.
Hires.
I thought they hired from within.
I think
within.
A bigger deal is Aiden Hutchinson coming back.
Yeah.
From missing last year. I think that makes a bigger impact.
They went out
and
got
coordinators.
They got DJ Reed at corner from the Jets, so they improved there. But all right, so I'm fine with that.
Number three teams to most likely dethrone the Philadelphia Eagles to win the Super Bowl. They
Commanders.
Got the Rams.
Oh.
They've got the Rams number three. Rams added Devontae Adams, lost Cooper Kupp, added Devontae Adams. I think based on where Cooper Kupp is now, that's an upgrade to add Devontae Adams.
They also have one of the best running backs in the league. His name's Kyren Williams.
That is correct. John Morton is the new OC in Detroit.
Not Johnny Morton.
Not Johnny Morton, a different John Morton. He was with the Lions in 2022, then he spent the last 2 years in Denver. Now he's back. Wow.
Kind of with
him. Kind of a familiar face.
Yeah. So they like the Rams. I mean, if you look at the Eagles' run in the playoffs, their closest game was against the Rams.
So far, it's the Bills, it's the Rams. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the Lions, it's the Rams.
And you already mentioned the number two team, the Bengals.
And the Bengals. That's surprising to me. And the Chiefs are not on this list so far? All right, so the number one is the Chiefs?
The number one team, they believe.
It's not the Chiefs.
Interestingly, the Chiefs aren't even an honorable mention.
I wonder if it's if it's a local team.
They don't have the Chiefs in the top 10.
That's weird.
They were in the Super Bowl last year.
Really weird. Wow.
The Washington Commanders.
Wow. The Washington Commanders.
Go. That's kind of amazing.
Let's go. I love this.
They have the Commanders basically as the second best team in the NFL.
They love the Laremy Tunsil deal. They love the Deebo Samuel deal.
Mm-hmm.
I love that too. I love Deebo.
And you have to think that Jaden is going to get even better in year two than he was in year one. And year one was spectacular.
What are your current odds for the Commanders to win the Super Bowl? I think when you went through this a few weeks ago, I feel like they were like the sixth or seventh most favored team.
By the way, they do have the Chiefs in the honorable mention.
Oh, I guess I missed it. Sorry.
Yeah. They've got Tampa, Minnesota, KC, Houston, Green Bay, and Baltimore.
Well, they got a bunch of teams in the honorable mention, actually.
Yeah.
More than I thought.
How are you feeling about
1600 to win the Super Bowl?
Who's the biggest favorite? Obviously the Eagles, but after them,
I don't have the list. I just have what the Commanders are listed.
Oh, I have ESPN's futures. Is that what you want?
Yeah, yeah.
Because so I have the Chiefs and the Eagles at plus 600. Then they have the Ravens right behind them at plus 650.
Yeah.
Then the Bills plus 700. Then the Lions plus 850. Then the Niners plus 30. They have the Niners ahead of the Commanders. And then the Bengals and the Commanders both at plus 1600.
Yeah, so that was what I was referencing that they were right around seventh. So that's tied for seventh.
I still take umbrage with the. And I know it means nothing. It's preseason with the Niners being a bigger favorite with all of their defections and personnel losses.
They did a lot.
I find that shocking that they are.
They're kind of
odds to win.
Kind
of
overhauling the roster a little bit. Yeah. Well,
so the latest in Cincinnati is that they're trying to work a deal out with Hendrickson. So let's just assume he comes back. They basically do seem like they're running it back because they haven't had, I mean, I'll double check, But their splash moves have been
their own guys
signing their own guys back.
Mm-hmm. But they're kind of critical. They're still in the prime of their careers, easily. Right?
Now they got off to an awful start. They started the season 1-4.
Yeah.
So I mean, they dug a huge hole and still had a shot to get into
what
the playoffs.
What did they finish? Did they finish 9-8 or did they get to 10? Did they get to 10 wins?
I think it was 9.
9.
Double check.
So they're not going to have the world's toughest schedule in terms of those extra games that they throw in there. I don't know.
I'm still surprised
by that.
That's kind
of high that they have the skins that high. I mean, I love what they've done so far. Really happy with it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm still just kind of scared.
I'm just kind of surprised they have a team to behind Washington to dethrone the Eagles when they didn't even make the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about Washington, about the Skins being number one?
I mean, they were NFC Championship, and they improved their roster. I mean, are they the top team? I don't know. I mean, it kind of depends on staying healthy. What are they going to do in the draft? What do they do at running back?
I think it helps that they play them twice.
Yep, certainly does.
None of the other teams on that list would play them twice.
So that would help to dethrone them?
Yeah, yeah, because... Yeah. You know, you can get home field over them and then make it harder for the Eagles to repeat as Super Bowl champions.
Uh-huh.
I think that the biggest task for them, specifically against the Eagles, is did they do enough defensively by adding these guys
not yet
to stop Saquon Barkley?
Not yet. They haven't. I don't think.
You just have to hope Barkley doesn't have another 2,000-yard
season. Well, do you think,
season.
Here's the overall question. We kind of been talking. Have they closed the gap? I think that they have, just
I
by
so.
The losses that Philly has suffered.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
I would agree.
I think
with that.
They have closed the gap. It's just to how much? I don't know. And of course, we're not done. Neither team's done with the draft coming up.
But like you said, when you look at the NFL futures to win the Super Bowl,
they're still like
most of these books, they're 7, 8, 9. They're not 2.
I don't think it's a terrible wager. Plus 1,600. You should put a Hunsky on him.
Sounds like something Drab should look
Drabby.
Into. This is the perfect draft.
He doesn't want to bet on the
maybe
Commanders.
Maybe not quite
he
the long shot
the
he's used to.
He'd rather bet on the Raiders with Pete Carroll.
Yeah, but he knows he's just lighting money on fire.
Is not nearly long
right,
enough.
Right, you'd like
super
long odds. Yeah.
No, I'd rather put $20 on Arkansas to win the national championship.
And what are their odds?
I don't know. $20 will pay me 2,600.
That's so pretty
good. 130-1.
Okay. What are Pete Carroll's and Geno Smith's odds
to win the Super Bowl?
Plus 10,000.
A trillion to one.
Plus 10,000.
That's where money.
Probably. You don't want to put $10 on Geno?
Oh, I will before the season starts.
But that would only get you 1,000. If you put 10. Put 100, you get you 10,000.
I'll probably put $10 on.
Put $10 on that?
That can't be right.
That's what I see. That's it.
With the Raiders?
Any of them, really.
If you want to chime in, do you think the Commanders have closed the gap and are worthy of being crowned number one, most likely to knock off the Philadelphia Eagles, which includes AFC teams?
I mean, they're definitely worthy. The thing that I can't get over in my head is all those last second games that all went in our favor. Like, I just don't think we're going to run the table
cardiac
like that.
Commanders?
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen. We're not going to be quite as lucky in end-of-game situations.
Now, one of them was a two-point conversion that they stopped, right, against the Saints.
Yeah.
Then they had the Eagles game where Devontae Smith dropped it.
Yep.
But to their credit, they then drove the ball down and scored.
Well, and Hurts was out.
Can't remember the circumstance, but you remember Neighbors dropped the ball on the sideline.
That was early in the season.
Yeah.
Fourth down, yep.
Yeah.
That was their first win.
Mm-hmm.
They got some breaks.
Then you had the playoff game against Tampa where they won on the last drive after Baker botched the snap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, I'll say that Jaden put in those situations, made the plays to get them the dub.
I mean,
they didn't just hand the dubs to the Commanders. The Commanders still had to make plays.
They earned those last second wins.
Right.
What is the cliche, cakes? Cool as a cucumber? Is that what it is?
Cool as a cucumber.
What did I say?
You said cool as a pepper or something.
No, you said cool as an onion.
Cool as an onion.
This is so old school. EB and I had an appearance where they actually asked us.
It was in Chantilly, Herndon.
We had to play sports.
What's the name of that bar?
Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
Yeah, Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, yeah.
I remember we had to play Sports Jeopardy. And they asked us the question and wrote down E.B. Flashed his card. I couldn't believe it.
By the way, on, I told you I didn't know. I just guessed.
On FanDuel, you know, is dead last to win the Super Bowl?
Dead last. Hold on. The Jags?
The team that Flame thinks is making the playoffs.
Oh, the Giants.
I didn't say that. I bet on 4-1 odds. It's not like I have great faith.
JP's doing a broad. Somebody's going to surprise you.
Yeah,
he's
doing that.
Be the Giants.
That's someone will surprise. It won't be the Giants.
That was my take.
Yeah,
but you said that about the Commanders last year.
I was clearly wrong. All of us were.
My Cakes.
Cakes was kind of right.
Valdez, too. Valdez is looking incredulous. Well, he was all over the Commanders, too.
Okay, but no one thought they were going NFC Championship.
I didn't think, but I thought double-digit wins. I was kind of grasping.
I had them at nine with an asterisk. Remember that.
I do remember that. But you didn't have the cojones to really bet the 11.
Yes, you guys thought they were going to the playoffs, but they still surprised everybody.
Right. Of course.
Yes.
Never forget the asterisk.
Turns out Jaden is a superstar. They drafted a superstar at number 2.
He certainly played like that.
The Hall of Famer.
I mean, his potential Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's 1-for-1 in Hall of Fame years.
Yeah.
That's true.
I would guess
it's 1-for-1.
Next year, hopefully he's 2-for-2.
Yeah. He's on a Hall of Fame track. I mean, so was Donovan McNabb, and it all fell apart. So, you know.
It all fell apart for him when he got traded here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Happened to a lot of guys.
When Andy Reid bamboozled the
team during the Snyder era, a lot of the guys they brought in turned out to be, they turned into pumpkins once they got here.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I think that time's done now. We're getting guys on the...
Yeah, there were pros, and then there were duds.
We're getting guys on the come up now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Got anyway, real adults in charge.
Your biggest challengers to the Eagles per CBS Sports. You're right. Kansas City. I don't know why. I looked at it a couple times. I didn't see Kansas City.
I mean, they got to be in there.
Thank you, Cakes.
No. I don't know, man. I'm looking at the list again, Jason. The guy writes, why no Chiefs? Well, it's pretty simple. Even though Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are plenty of locks to make noise in January, their lofty 2024 win total proved misleading on the biggest stage when they were thoroughly and historically embarrassed. So they didn't make the list.
They're right
according
there.
To this. All right. I don't know.
You want to look at the list?
Read a different article.
Kansas City Chiefs. Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, I'm not making this up, but...
You got to hurt the computer.
But the Bills were 5. The Lions were 4.
Yep.
At number 3 was the Rams, the Bengals 2, and the Washington Commanders by CBS Sports.
Number
deemed the
one.
Most likely to dethrone the Philadelphia Eagles. Coming up next, we're going to give you a chance to win that $100 gift card on a game show Wednesday. We're going to play Junkies Trivia, 800-636-1067. We're going to reward our most loyal listeners next here on the Junkies.
I just saw a headline on ESPN.com. Tom Brady admits there was natural tension between he and Bill Belichick. Is that news?
Who wouldn't think it is?
Sometimes I think people pretend like they never played sports.
It was natural tension with every coach
sports.
Ever had.
Doug, I was a bad athlete. I had some tension with some coaches in high school. You know what I mean? Like, of course.
Yeah. People, they think everything is just always, you know, it's just nice all the time. Some of the people that had the most success, they are stressed and strained to the gills all the time. But you know what? They come together and make the right things happen. It ain't just, oh, yes, sir, do everything the coach says. Sometimes you challenge the coach. You ask him, man, that's not going to work. I told you that last week. Can we try something new this week? So you go out in the field and then you do what you've been telling them. Then you go to the sideline. And a lot of coaches that are smart go, oh, let's try to implement that then. Some coaches get so mad because you can have success and they still mad because you didn't do exactly what they told them, what they told you to do.
Right. Like it.
And you think I'm not going to have a problem with that dude? Please.
I think people would be shocked by the amount of tension, healthy, I would say, kind of at all times.
Yeah.
I don't know. What makes news for the yelling shows is something else. But I think...
Come to yelling shows.
I heard that somewhere. I don't want to take credit for that. But that's what they all are.
Well, they do a lot of yelling.
If you're on ESPN or FS1 in the morning... And that's all they're doing. somebody's yelling at somebody about something. And yeah. It feels pretty forced to me, but maybe not to all.
Some people don't disagree with everything. That's why when I look at them, I'm like, what the hell? You don't agree with nothing?
Right. Like there's nothing possibly to agree on?
God.
Be interesting question this morning. I recorded a podcast this morning with Mitch Tischler, and I've said this for a while now. I think as it's currently constituted, Washington has the 29th pick in the NFL draft.
Uh-huh.
And I think outside of quarterback, there is really zero pressure to take any one position group because you can argue they need everybody.
Yep.
Like, I don't think – is one group so loaded you don't think they need help there?
No.
And I think last year they proved they don't care if people think so. By taking Newton last year,
yeah,
they proved, you know, we're taking the best guy, and if we're a year early on needing somebody, that's fine. I think taking Newton allowed them to make the decision this year. Yep. I guess you could argue at tight end, where you're probably only keeping three on your roster, mm-hmm. on your 53-man roster, and the fact that you paid Ertz, you gave Bates a three-year deal, and you just drafted Sennett, you're probably not taking a tight end there.
Yeah.
I
just think
that's probably the only
you can always go big to help your team. You know?
And you can keep four. Yeah. And you figure out a different spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying you can always go big with the offensive lineman, defensive lineman to help your team. Because those guys enhance other guys. You know? So if you want to lean that way, I'll never have a problem with that.
So what I found interesting that Mitch said, it's possible. I think this is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's possible the only thing they feel pressured to do at 29 is try to move back and recoup a bunch more picks. Because no one's saying that they shouldn't have made the trades, but they are really light on draft picks this year because of the players they've acquired via trade.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll feel pressured to move out of 29 and try to accumulate more picks? We saw them do it last year in the second round. They moved out and move back to get a bunch more picks.
I don't know if pressured is the right word because I don't think they have to be pressured for it because if they've added players that puts them ahead of getting a draft pick and they've added other guys that are on those one-year deals, they may feel comfortable with those guys and they may see somebody they want at the position. So I don't know if it's pressured, but I don't think it would be nothing that would hinder them from doing it.
That's, I don't know if it's pressure is a very good point, but I feel like for Peters, how do you think you balance, all right, if I hit my guy at 29, I got 5 years of control.
There you go.
I don't even have to deal with an extension until after 4 years. How do you balance that with, dog, right now I got 29 and 61, and I don't pick again until 128.
But I think
they still need players this year.
You need players, but I think it's the comfort level that you have at this current time with the people you've already added to your team. Do you feel I have to go get a guy, or do you feel I have someone that can hold that position for me year or two? Maybe next year I go get some more people. You know, or maybe some undrafted free agents that are still sitting there. You know, if you hit those, but I don't think it's as much stress with them as we think it is.
Jeffrey, is there any position you don't want at 29?
Position I don't want?
Like, is there a possible pick at 29 where you're like, no?
I don't want a receiver at 29.
Why?
I personally want to go with the DN at 29. If it's the best player available, I don't even care what position it is. That's just me. I will go best player
except receiver.
Yeah, but I don't think the best player available at 29 is going to be a receiver.
What if a receiver or somebody drop back a little bit because they go on a run of other positions?
I really want to get a stud rusher on the edge, if we could, sure, at 29.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a need.
I'm looking at Tankathon right now. They have Washington taking, I mean, good luck with this name, Ezeraku, Donovan Ezeraku, who's a edge rusher out of Boston College. At 61, they got him taking Cam Scadaboo.
Scadaboo. I like that dude.
I like that dude, too. Yo, listen to this body type. I mean, this is an NFL running back all day. 5'9 and a half, 219.
A little stocky rascal. Like a little Robert Newhouse. Back in the day.
Yo, Scadaboo went for 1,700 last year.
Oh, he balled. I watched him in a game.
And another 600 through the air.
He couldn't hold anything in his stomach, but he showed he got over it and got back in the game, was running that ball, man.
Jeff, are you all right with a running back in the second? Team with a lot of holes?
I don't want a running back in the second. For real. But if that running back helps the team.
I would say, I don't want one. I would still try to go on the defensive side. But if it's a game changer right there, like, say if, like, I like Quishon Judkins. Say if he's, like, right there, right? Oh, yeah, I think we got to go get him.
I like Judkins, too.
like we got to, like, it, you know, even though I don't want it, I don't want to do it there. You know, I'm not an NFL scout or anything. But if, you know, they go and get someone that's like going to just like drastically change it, go for it. I don't care for it. I don't care if it's a reach. If it's one of them drastic game changers, let's do it.
Get them. When we come back, Wendy Knows Sports shares her NCAA bracket with us. Is she beating me? Let's find out. Be Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is giving all customers the chance to take a swing at $500,000 in bonus bets every day from March 27th to the 30th, this Thursday through Sunday. It's all a part of $500,000 daily home run jackpot. All you have to do is use your jackpot profit boost on a player to homer. And if they go yard, not only will you get bigger winnings on your home run bet, but you'll also get a share of that day's $500,000 jackpot. This season on FanDuel, big wins are on deck. So just head to FanDuel.com/Brian and look for the daily home run jackpot. Make every moment more with FanDuel, your home for betting home runs. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Must apply a profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct pick. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.